Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We heard two of my favorite parables today. Parables that I do not think we can ever hear enough. Parables that teach how valuable you are, how much you are worth to your Savior. Echoes of what God spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy, that you are His treasure. You are His prized pearl, for whom He gave everything. We can never hear that enough. Because if there's one thing, one truth that Satan does not want you to hear, it's that one. If there's one thing, one truth Satan does not want you to believe, it's that one. And so he is fighting against you, against the church, to get you to disbelieve or doubt your Father's love for you. And so he says, a loving God? A God who treasures you? Really? Look around. The world is a mess. The church is a mess. You are a mess. Look at what happened in the world just this past week. Look at the continuing divisions and scandals in the church. And you? You're no treasure. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. And he's right, you know. There's always a kernel of truth in Satan's lies, which is what makes them so effective. The world, the church, and yes, you are a mess. And Satan is working very hard to keep it that way, sowing his weeds, as we heard last week, not only of hatred and division, but also of pride and glory to keep us in our selfishness, to keep us a mess. And then, if that's not enough, he says, in addition to that, this mess that you are, that you've created, it's up to you to fix it. He's not content with messing things up. He also wants us to keep chasing our tails, trying to fix it, because we're not very good at that. The world that preaches tolerance, that is the way to peace, keeps becoming more intolerant and unpeaceful. And the church that preaches compromise as a way to unity is just compromising itself into irrelevance. In ourselves, you know the answer to that one. Like New Year's resolutions, maybe we might do good for a couple of weeks and then fall again. Pull one weed and another pops up in its place. Satan even uses this parable of Jesus against us. This parable which Jesus meant to comfort us and reassure us, Satan turns on its head and says, you are the man in the parable, you know. Or at least you're supposed to be. God and His kingdom is supposed to be so precious and valuable to you that you would give up everything for it. You say, it is, Christian, but you don't act like it. Are you willing to give up everything, are you? I know better. I know your heart. You'd rather deny. You'd rather compromise. You'd rather keep quiet than lose your job, lose face, or lose your precious things. And I don't even have to work very hard to get you to fall. You're so weak and pathetic. A little name calling, a little pressure, and you crumble like a stale cookie. So treasure, you're no treasure. You're an old, obsolete, broken down piece of junk that God is burying not in love, but in a landfill. Here endeth Satan. Here's the thing, though. Satan, if you want to talk about burying, you want to talk about a landfill, what about Jesus? You see, he was crucified on a garbage heap, thrown out like garbage by an ungrateful world, and then buried dead in the ground. It's all true, you know it. But Satan, why was he here? Why was the Son of God there at all? Was it not because he loved us? Was it not because he was giving up everything for us? He came down from heaven and was incarnated as a man. He willingly gave up all his prerogatives as God, willingly did not use his divine power to help himself or save himself. He left his throne and the song, the unending song of the angels, to come down and be born in a stable. He became obedient to his earthly parents, lived in this creation. He who feeds all knew hunger. He who sends the rains knew thirst. He who is joy sorrowed. You tempted him, Satan, didn't you? But he didn't give in. He knew rejection, even in his hometown, by his family, his friends and family. And then he allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, whipped, spit on, and punched. His head was crowned with thorns, and he experienced the utter rejection of the cross. Yes, thrown out and buried like garbage. And for this, you call him weak, Satan. But isn't that strength to do all that? And you call him a failure for this, Satan, for having such indignity done to him. But if he is such a failure, why then is his grave empty? Why then is there still a church, imperfect as it may be? Why then, Satan, are you fighting so hard if you already won? Where is your victory? Unless you haven't really won at all. Unless all you can do is mess things up and try to make us believe that you won. Yes, that's it, isn't it, Satan? That's true. We are God's treasures. If we look at ourselves as Satan wants us to, we'll never see it. But if we look at the cross, at all that Jesus gave from us, that's what I'm worth. That's what cleans up my mess. There's my forgiveness, my life, my salvation, my food. There's the answer. We confess it every week in the Creed, those words that mean that Jesus purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Purchased that I may be his own, his treasured possession. I belong to him. And dear friends, so do you. Because Jesus took that holy precious blood, poured out on the cross, and poured it on you in holy baptism, to cleanse you and make you his own. And he takes that body and blood that hung on the cross and was buried in the grave but is now risen and alive, and he puts it into your mouth, into you, to feed you with himself and his life and his victory. And he takes the word of his cross, that message of how valuable you are to him, and all that he gave to purchase you, and he fills your ears with it, that you may know, and by the working of his Spirit, believe it. Because it's hard to believe sometimes, when we have particularly bad weeks, when our own sins have erupted out of us, and when the sins of others have crushed us, when we look in us and around us and see nothing but dirt. But you know, the dirt is where Jesus is. When he came down from heaven to earth, he was born in a dirty stable, not an immaculate palace. And while he was here, he didn't hang out with the high and mighty and those who thought themselves deserving, but with dirty sinners. And so as he was hidden with them, the true God in human flesh, hanging out with sinners, so now he hides us too. In the ground, in the dirt. But don't be dismayed by that. It is, as St. Paul said, good. First of all, I think because once we get a taste of glory, we always want more. It's part of our sinful human nature. Get a little, want a lot. So Jesus buries us, his treasures, under the sufferings and pains and trials of this world, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. To keep us with him and relying on him and hungering and thirsting after him and his glory instead of the glory of this world and life. And then second, I think he hides us in the ground. He buries us in the dirt that we may be a blessing to the others who are in the dirt. Those with us under the sufferings and pains and trials of this world and life, so that they will not be alone. That they too may see and hear the love of their Savior from us. That they too are pearls of great price, their Savior searching for them. So he hides us in the ground. For hiddenness is the way of it with God. In the end, on the last day, all will be revealed, the righteous and the evil. The net will be hauled ashore and the fish separated, those who are in Christ and those who are not, but not until then. Now we live by faith, not by sight. Now we live by his word and promises, not results. Now we receive him hidden in water and words and bread and wine. Now we live in the dirt, but knowing that the resurrection to eternal life is coming. For he who was raised from the dirt and dust of death is coming back to do the same for us. And then will be the kingdom and the power and the glory. Yet not even then will you see the treasure that you are. For you won't be concerned about that. You will only see your Savior and the treasure he is to you. And so until then, we confess with St. Paul, in this life, no. In all these things, in all this dirty world, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will be able to separate us from our Savior, who came into the dirt for us to raise us to Him in His glory. So it is as we sang in the hymn just before the sermon, I am baptized into Christ, into His death and resurrection, into His dirt, that I may be raised to a new life. And so sin, Satan, and death have all lost. And there is nothing worth comparing to this comfort, sure. We don't even have to fear the grave. We've already been buried with Christ. Treasures, pearls of great price, resting and sleeping secure, awaiting the day of our raising. Children of paradise, that's us, being kept by our Savior. And if you are still doubting that, come and receive the body and blood of the one who says, you are. Yes, you are worth it. Every crumb, every drop, every splash, every word. Yes, you are worth it. So He is here for you. His treasure. His child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.